Howdy! Welcome to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. I'm Amelia Dalton from eejournal.com, and oh boy, there has been some news swirling around the electronic engineering community these days. We've got big-time EDA news. We've got another round of legal skirmishes in the non-volatile memory space. And we've got Microsemi making waves in the world of FPGAs. So, without further ado, first up, have you heard the news? The EDA pie just got a little smaller. And Big Purple, better known as Synopsys, just got a whole lot bigger. It was announced last week that Synopsys has acquired emulation company Eve. Oh, wow. Now, I know those folks at Eve quite well. If you check out the executive listings of Fish Fry interviews, you'll find not one, but two Eve executives on there. Now, I know there have been plenty of rumors swirling around this announcement. It has to do with a big Intel deal brewing. It's a counterplay against Cadence. How and why did a certain deepchip.com editor, John Cooley, know about this announcement ahead of time? And what does Mentor Graphics think about this? Well, I think it all boils down to patent litigation. Did you know that emulation has been one of the most patent litigation-prone segments of EDA? It's true. And I think Synopsys was feeling a little left out of the whole EDA patent litigation game. Man, no one has sued us in a long time. Well, we could go pick a fight with somebody. Nah, too obvious. I got it. Let's snatch up an emulation company. That'll give us a whole slew of patent problems. Yes, brilliant. Okay, maybe not. But it is true that Synopsys is going to have to deal with Mentor Graphics' current patent suit against Eve. So we'll just have to see how all of that plays out. And in further patent litigation news, this time in the non-volatile memory space, if you have been following Fish Fry, you know that there's been quite a battle brewing between Cydense and Kilopass. To recap, first, Kilopass sued Cydense in a 10-count patent infringement case. Next, Cydense sued Kilopass and Kilopass CEO Charlie Chang for a whole bunch of things, including, defamation, intentional interference with contractual relations, intentional interference with prospective economic advantage, unfair competition under California Business and Professionals Code, as well as federal unfair competition, cheating at Foursquare, and hogging the swing set on the playground. Okay, maybe not those last two. And then, after a Markham hearing to determine the validity of the patent claims, all patent claims against Cydense were dismissed. Then finally, last week, United States District Court for Northern District of California dismissed, with prejudice, all of Kilopass's remaining business tort claims against Cydense. Okay. And then, 2 days later, looky here, a press release comes sliding across my desk that says Kilopass files appeals for both patent infringement case and tort case against Cydense. Ah, geez, guys, enough is enough. I've got a great idea. To solve all of this mess, think Judge Judy meets high tech. I, Amelia Dalton, from eejournal.com, we'll solve all of your patent litigation problems for just half the price you're paying all of those lawyers. That's right. Judge Amelia. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? I'll look at your patent claims and decide who's right. Imagine the savings. For all of the amount that you save on those lawyers, you could hire an engineer or two that could actually start designing things. What do you think? Now, speaking of patent litigation, have you ever imagined what a world would look like without patents? Well, it would be different for sure, and a lot less fodder for this show. Check out Kevin Morris's feature article entitled, Imagine, What If There Were No Patents? I've posted a link on this week's Fish Frying page, just in case you want to check it out. And I would suggest reading the comments at the end of the article in our forums for this week. Some serious food for thought. And now, the FPGA news I was talking about before. This week, Microsemi launched a brand new version of their Smart Fusion FPGA family. And I've got the lowdown from Isam Ilashmawi, Vice President and General Manager, SoC Products Group at Microsemi. Isam and I talk about what this FPGA family has that you might want, what markets it's looking to target, and why their embedded flash technology gives them a step up on the competition.
Thanks for having me here, Amelia. Appreciate it.
So this is Microsemi's first foray into bigger FPGAs, right?
That is correct.
So how are Microsemi's FPGAs different from other SRAM FPGAs on the market today?
Well, we've always leveraged a different technology. If you're familiar with other FPGAs, they employ what we refer to as SRAM technology. And at Microsemi, we leverage today, which is what we refer to as embedded flash technology. We actually use flash technology as our configuration bit itself. So the configuration cell is based on flash technology. And what that does, it gives us some unique differentiations that you can only do with Microsemi FPGAs that you can't get from an SRAM perspective. What are examples of that? Well, we leverage that technology to give our users and our customers significantly lower power because the flash configuration cell itself doesn't leak as much current as an SRAM cell will. And the best way to think about that is you have a single flash cell for your configuration switch. In the case of an SRAM, you have multiple SRAM devices or CMOS devices to do a 6T or 8T or even 12T cell for an SRAM-based device. The other advantage you get using embedded flash technology is also the reliability. Now, as you look at reliability, one key aspect that users have been asking for from FPGA vendors is immunity to SEU. There is a well-known phenomena known as a sudden event upset, where there are heavy ions, we can refer to them as alpha or neutron particles, that come from space, enter the Earth's atmosphere, and actually hit our silicon chips. Now, over time, as we've been scaling our technology, and specifically with SRAM technology, as it's been scaling, it's been getting to thinner and thinner gate oxide, shallower junctions, and these heavy ions or neutron or alpha particles that come into the Earth's atmosphere, well, they haven't been scaling. So from you can think about it from the beginning of time, it's always been happening, but our transistors are becoming smaller and smaller and smaller, and it's gotten to the point now where the relative size of these heavy ions and our transistor technology is resulting in what we refer to as an upset, where these heavy ions can actually change the state of a transistor. And as a result of that, if you're using SRAM technologies, you can actually get a configuration upset. Now, this is something that's well known. Other SRAM vendors that leverage SRAM for FPGA technology have ways to scrub around this. But the advantage we have with embedded flash technology in Microsemi FPGAs is that there's no scrubbing allowed. That means that there's no downtime in refreshing your design. Embedded flash technology is immune to configuration upset. So that's another advantage of the technology that we have. So the first one was the low power. The second one is the immunity to configuration upset. And the third advantage we have is because we are non-volatile, which means you don't need a battery to keep your design alive. If you were to remove the power of your chip, your chip looks like an ASIC. You won't lose the configuration at all. It's a non-volatile device. Well, that allows us, from a security perspective, to provide our customers and users security features that you can't provide with an SRAM-based FPGA. One other advantage that we have as well, using flash-based technology, is that we can incorporate into our device a non-compromised microcontroller. With any true microcontroller that's out there in the market today, and I'm not talking about a soft microcontroller that you program into the fabric, a true microcontroller that you can buy from a microcontroller vendor such as ST or Freescale, with a microcontroller you need embedded flash on the side. Because we use embedded flash technology for our configuration bit, We can embed within the same die embedded flash technology or memory, which allows us to have a non-compromised true microcontroller within our device. If you're employing just SRAM technology, you don't have the capabilities of putting embedded flash on the side of your chip. You need to have embedded flash technology. So this allows us also to have a differentiation of being able to have a true microcontroller within the same silicon monolithic type solution.
Great. Okay. So what target markets are you looking to go after with the Smart Fusion 2 FPGA family?
So with Smart Fusion 2, we're going after our traditional markets, and yet we're expanding that as well. As an FPGA vendor, we service the military markets, the industrial markets, the comms markets. We have a vast variety of markets that we go after, including the medical as well. For many years, our customers have been telling us that they value our attributes of low power, security, reliability, but they've been asking us to go and provide them with more feature sets that they can find from the mainstream FPGA market. As we've incorporated the mainstream features, such as higher density, higher performance, DSP capabilities, SerDes capabilities, DDR interfaces, we've incorporated that into our embedded flash technology, providing the customer base and all the markets that we go after with our valuable attributes of low power, security, and reliability. Wherever you find mainstream FPGAs today in those markets, we now bring those differentiated attributes within our Smart Fusion 2 device.
Great. Okay, so tell me about the tool support you offer.
So we recognize the importance of tool supports and ecosystems. With our ARM Cortex M3 microcontroller, we're leveraging the ARM ecosystem with tools for debug capabilities, RTOS support. We also recognize the importance of having good synthesis tools and verification tools, so we do partner with our EDA vendors to provide that for our users. We've also invested heavily in our own in-house tools, such as our Libro design suite. And with this product, we've also built a new capability called System Builder, which makes the design process easier for the FPGA designer. So through simple words and description, we'll actually automatically configure and connect peripherals with our microcontroller, and it will end up being correct by design. So we're really focusing on how to make the design process easier and simpler for the design engineer so that he can focus on the value areas where he needs to spend most of his time.
That's great.
Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, including press releases from both Cydence and Kilopass, a link to John Cooley's coverage of the Eve acquisition by Synopsys, and more information about the new Smart Fusion 2 FPGA family from Microsemi, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's page. Thank you everyone for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I should attend, or the best geeky hotspot in your hometown, shoot me a line at amelia@techfocusmedia.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of October 12th, 2012, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.